invite you to go ahead and stand tonight. Glad to have all of you here. Good to have those with children. Glad you don't shy away from bringing children to church. All right. You don't want to get in the habit of just bringing folks to church when there is something to do. Exciting. And see, a lot of adults even drop out of church. Got to be something, an incentive to get you there. Well, we attend church because the Lord wants us to, all right? Sometimes it's a handful if you've got the little ones. We know God can help you. All the churches I've ever attended, there was never anything for children on Sunday nights, sometimes on Wednesdays. It's just the way it was, all right? And you had your children there. They can learn, and they can sing, and they can grow, and God can use them. So thank you, Mom and Dads. We'll pray that the Lord blesses you for your attribute of faith of bringing them tonight. Again, good to have you here. Good to have you folks visiting with us, and good to have some teens. Not too many teens here, but got a few teens tonight. Felt a couple youngsters running around, others here. Again, many folks, probably just as many watching from home, as there's quite a bit of sickness among our folks. All right, let's go ahead and pray. We'll have you stay standing for opening hymn. Lord, we come to you tonight. We know there are quite a few in our church family. I'm not going to mention names, Lord. I probably don't know everybody that may be home tonight just sick, maybe a lingering virus. Lord, stuff that's sort of been going around, sort of spreading. Lord, we pray that those folks tonight, if they're able to watch the service, tonight's service will be an encouragement to them. Lord, perhaps they don't even feel that well. They may be laid up. They may just be feeling pretty miserable. And Lord, I pray they could get some needed rest. We pray, if it be your will, that the sickness could pass, Lord. And Lord, we're grateful that we live in a place where we do have a lot of things that we can take for health reasons or medicine to encourage us and help us get better. Lord, may we pray for those. I'm thankful for many in our church family. Lord, just like at our home, someone swung by, Lord, and dropped off a meal, or someone came by and dropped off something to be an encouragement. Lord, many of the folks in the church do that on a regular basis, and we're thankful for them. Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that if we live near someone, check up on an elderly saint, a shut-in, someone we've heard is sick, maybe someone that's a widow, and be an encouragement and a blessing to them. Lord, we pray your blessing tonight on the service here in the middle of the week. Lord, thank you for moms and dads that bring their young ones. Lord, we know that sometimes sitting in a service with adults can be a little bit of a challenge, but Lord, it's not beyond them being some parents and Lord, training and discipling and having the children listen and participate, Lord, in the Word of God, holding a hymnal. Lord, we're grateful for that. Help our boys and girls, our teenagers, to grow up to love you and to serve you, to be faithful in church all the days of their life, Lord, to serve you with the great Spirit. Lord, we ask you to be honored and glorified tonight in all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing as Pastor comes, number 282 tonight.
Jesus is coming again. Let's look to the Lord, shall we? Okay, ready? Here we go.
Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing. Forward of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Standing with
right, you got a Bible tonight. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 34. Psalm 33, 34. I'm going to read a short passage. I'm going to read just a short little story, and then we're going to watch a short video, all right, that'll all tie together here tonight. Psalm 33, Psalm 34. If you need a Bible, there should be a Pew Bible handy. If you came without one, that's fine. We provide these there, Pew Bible. And you can find the book of Psalms right in the middle. And I can get you that page number here quick here, see if I can find it. Psalm 33, that's page 844 if you use the Pew Bible. 844 tonight. I'm going to read just a short passage of Scripture. Read you a short story that ties in with 9/11. Watch a short video that also ties into 9/11. Then we're going to come back and sing a hymn that also ties into 9/11. All right, you getting the picture? All right, a little bit here tonight. And then we're going to transition to something a little bit different that maybe you are not expecting, but I believe the Lord would have us do that tonight. Obviously, just like your parents, perhaps, or grandparents, for them it was December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. Could go back another generation or two, and there may have been an event that was your great-grandparents that remembered something that happened, a tragedy in our American history, not even maybe in America. Some of your ancestors from other countries could have been an event, a world event there, that just something that was something they'll never forget for whatever reason. And for our more current generation, obviously, 9/11, 2001, 23 years ago, was something that most everybody here probably knows where you were, just like your grandparents, great-grandparents knew where they were, maybe when they heard about Pearl Harbor on the radio. For many of us, you may have been at school, you may have been at work, you may have been at home. Obviously, there's different ages here, so a lot of the youngsters, just like your parents maybe telling you about Pearl Harbor, you're having to tell them, or you can watch today. Tonight, you can watch many videos. Certainly would encourage parents to pre-watch those, even though they may be short, but some language and things that they have captured, need to be careful about that. But 9/11, I won't ask you tonight, where were you? All right, you probably remember it. I was teaching first period Bible, junior high Bible at Temple Baptist School, and I was in first period Bible class, and teaching class, and I got a knock on the door. Mr. Buck, one of our teachers and our business managers, just popped in and said, hey, just quick prayer request. Just maybe you want to stop your Bible class and pray right now. Plane flew into the World Trade Center. That's all we know. All right, some of you can remember that. You weren't really watching. You just maybe heard a radio thing and didn't know if it was some small pilot got off course. And so I just remember stopping class, seventh and eighth graders, I think it was. We said, let's have a word of prayer. We just prayed a quick prayer. That was all we knew. All right, and finished class, got into my second. I taught two classes back to back on Tuesdays, and then I was off the rest of the day. That was my off day. And of course, from that moment on, we got more and more information. And then really for the students at school, as many of the students at school, you watched the televisions. If you had them on a cart or had a screen at that day and you watched that, I left to go on an errand. But then when I was listening on the radio is when the first, I think her second tower fell down. And so I just turned around and went home. All right. Had my young wife. We had one daughter. Lauren was just little. And so I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to go home. And for many of you, you were glued to your television the rest of the day, the rest of the week, maybe even the rest of the month, as more and more information came out about what really happened, as we began to realize it was terrorists and it was a coordinated attack, and not just the towers, not just the Pentagon, Flight 93 there, and the heroic men and women on that flight that after they received the black box, and you heard some of the recordings there of what happened, Todd Beamer, the most famous of that group, but others we don't know about that realized what was happening, made a phone call, heard from things. Sometimes if you never listened to some of that, it would be good listening for you if you have older children. The voice recordings of his phone call in and what was going on the plane, and the Lord's Prayer that they prayed together in Psalm 23. And then as you could hear what was going on, and somebody said, let's roll. Some of you remember that. Let's roll. We're not letting this go to the White House. We're not letting this happen. We're going to take it down. And you don't know all that happened, you can imagine, but to pretty heroic folks there, knowing that we're going to die, but we're going to do what we need to do for our country. And only time will tell, perhaps, in the future. I know if you read anything about Todd Beamer, who was probably the most well-known, I don't know if he was a believer. We don't know if anybody on that plane was believers. We do know that he attended a Christian school, day school, Christian high school. We do know that he ended up transferring to Wheaton College, no longer a fundamental school anymore, but the Bible College of Jim Elliot and others, and graduated from Wheaton, and was involved in a church with his wife for many years. And so we would pray that maybe he knew the Lord, and that there were others on that plane that knew the Lord. And those days seem like just yesterday, maybe, if you watch a video like we're going to, might put you right there. But that happened 23 years ago. And we're grateful for the freedoms we have. Many of you remember what it was like in the weeks after that, huh? All I can speak of is what it was like in North Carolina, all right? And not up here. This was much closer, obviously, to New York City and places like that. But, you know, down there, you get your mountain people. And, boy, flags everywhere. You might remember that. Flags on trucks, flags on cars. Everybody patriotic. And just that sort of patriotic flavor of we're Americans and this is terrible and we're not going to back down and let's be unified. And people praying, churches filled. And Pastor can probably talk to that. I know Steve was mentioned today that you had to open the church that night and for prayer. And a lot of people were flocking in. And I'll read you a little bit of a story that talks about that a little bit. But you say, well, what are we talking about here? You know, a lot of people today are having services or a memorial, maybe a state memorial or a borough or a government type memorial remembrance, flags put out for the almost 3,000 civilians that died, the 340 some plus firefighters, 60 plus policemen, and probably others we are not aware of. All right, you think how tragic and horrific that was. And yet here we are 23 years later. We say, has anything changed? Maybe, we might say, maybe security, maybe not. Praise God, nothing that significant has happened yet on our soil. Did it change us? Did it change you? Did it change our churches? Did it change our views? Who knows? But I was thinking about a passage of Scripture to read. I want us to read a passage of Scripture that you'll know the main verse here probably because it's often used on patriotic services, July 4th, church signs. But I want to read that verse plus the remainder of the chapter. That's Psalm 33. I want to read verses 12 through 22. Psalm 33, 12 through 22. And I want you to notice the emphasis on where our strength, where our faith should be. And I'll make a few comments before we watch the video after a little reading. Verse 12, Psalm 33. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, most of us have heard that. You know it's in the Bible, maybe. The question would be tonight is this nation's, is God the Lord? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh down from heaven. Do you believe that? I believe that, right? The Lord looks down from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. He knows who's in the building here tonight. He knows who's not. He beholds us. Verse 14. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth, not just here in America. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king, we could say no nation, saved by the multitude of an host, by the might of our military. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Back in the days where maybe before tanks, you say, well, look at our military, look at our horses. Look how secure we are. No, a horse is a vain and worthless, empty thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that, notice the wording here, that fear him. Upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice, notice, in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Now, don't close your Bible. I'm going to read four verses from the next chapter, but I want you to notice the emphasis there. The answer for America, now we're speaking of America as we're Americans, we live in America. Although the verses here apply to more than just America. The answer for America, you say, well, I hope Now, what's going on with our country? We're in election time and debates and just, it's like, we're frustrated or angry or the way our country's going and has been going and our freedoms what are we going to do? Well, maybe we just need to. Well, the answer here in the Bible, of course, is the answer is not found in the White House. It's not found in the U.S. Capitol. It's not found in a political party. It's not found in a person. Human person. It's not found in our military might. Well, hey, USA, look at what we've got. We've got military. No one can take us down. It's not in our advanced technology and all that we have and all the things we have that many other countries don't have. We're secure. We're safe. If you read the scriptures here, no, you're not saved by the multitude of your army or your host or your military or your strength or your technology or your missiles. That's not what gives you security. Well, don't worry about it. Our infrastructure and our safety. No, that's not where we look to. We look to Him, it says. The answer for America is found in the Word of God. The answer for America is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says we look to Him. We look for His mercy. We know that He has the answer. He's more powerful than anything else. And certainly the answer should be among God's people in America. Many times we'll say, well, America needs an awakening. Okay, well, who's going to do that? How's that happen? Well, we need revival. Who's going to do that? Where's the revival begin at? It starts with God's people. What's it going to look like? How's it going to happen? How will we know there's revival? We're going to get serious with God. How do we know you're going to get serious with God? What changes if you get serious with God? Sometimes we just throw out the slogans. What would happen then if you got right with God? You got serious. What would change? You would no longer be pursuing vanity and worthless things. Your thrust for your children would completely change. Your emphasis on the church and involvement, and getting the gospel out. You say, those things would change. All right? We say, well, we got to change everything. What needs to change? How's that going to happen? All right? It's by getting back to the Word of God. What does God want us to do? Are we going to do that? Are we just sort of playing? Or is God really our Lord and our God? Notice the next chapter, and we'll finish with the scripture. Psalm 34 should be right on the same page, probably. Let's just read three or four verses 15 through 18. Verses 15 through 18. Notice again, talks about God beholding. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Are you secure in the fact that God is in control? God is sovereign. God will deal with evil and wicked people. God will protect the righteous. That doesn't mean we'll never suffer harm or tribulation. The scripture's clear on that. But the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Here's the question. Are you one of the righteous? What does that look like? What makes a person righteous according to the Bible? His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Let me ask you, would that be you? I think sometimes we just... The terrorists are the ones that do evil. The people in the prisons. None of us are capable of doing evil. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. If the Lord is nigh unto those that have a broken heart, and saves and delivers those that have a contrite, a crushed, tender spirit, what about a nation that has that spirit? What about a nation that's humbled themselves? What about a nation that doesn't look to their military might or to their infrastructure or their finances or their technology or their health system or all that we have in America? What if we say, God, we are nothing without You. None of those things save us. In fact, Lord, we're wicked. Lord, we need You. And we cry to the Lord. Will He hear based on the Word of God? He's nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Are you praying as fervently today as you did the evening of 9/11? Am I praying as much as I did that week? Is my heart as tender? We all know what happens as time goes on. It's something we have to fight against. Our flesh is weak. Our hearts can grow cold. And yet the Lord is still on the throne. I'm going to read a short story here again from this book, 100 Bible Verses That Made America. And I've read mostly in the years past old stories from long ago. But the second to last story in this book, chapter 99, is September 11th, 2011. The day we'll never forget. I'm just going to read this short story in here. We're going to watch about a 5-minute video. Then we'll come back up, sing a hymn, And one final thing. So in this little book of Bible verses that made our country, many of them are before America was America, 1600s, 1700s, early days of our country, Civil War. But this is the second to last one in here. The horrific terrorist attacks on September 11th, 2001, united America as no other event in our lifetimes. Probably because of technology, back in Pearl Harbor, we just didn't have as much knowledge. You could hear the radio, but it didn't unite as much, maybe, as when you can see it and the whole country can see what's happening. And two hijacked airliners crashed into the towers of the World Trade Center. A third plane crashed in the Pentagon, and a fourth was headed possibly toward the White House or the U.S. Capitol. Aboard Flight 93, Todd Beamer, who we mentioned, using the GTE airphone in his seat, contacted operator Lisa Jefferson. "We're going to do something," he said. "I'm going to have to go out on faith. It's what we have to do." He asked the operator to recite the Lord's Prayer with him, and they did so. "Our Father, which art in heaven." At the conclusion of the prayer, Todd said, "Jesus, help me." He then proceeded to recite Psalm 23, apparently with some of the other men also reciting it. Then with a deep breath, you can hear on the phone, "Are you ready? Okay, let's roll." At the cost of their lives, these heroes spared further destruction to our nation's capital and perhaps other lives. That night, many of you watched President George W. Bush address the nation, and he too quoted Psalm 23. I quote, "Tonight I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all those whose sense of safety and security has been threatened. And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." 3 days later, American world leaders gathered at the National Cathedral for a service of prayer and remembrance. Maybe you watched that. The choir began with the great hymn, "O God, our help in ages past." America's aged evangelist, Billy Graham, who had to be helped up the steps and into the pulpit, described the horror and heartbreak of the week and went on to say, "The Bible says God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea." Billy Graham addressed the question on everyone's mind, "Why does God allow evil like this to take place?" He said, "I've been asked hundreds of times why God allows tragedy and suffering." Here was Billy Graham's answer. "I have to confess I really do not know the answer. I have to accept by faith that God is sovereign, that He is a God of love and mercy and compassion in the midst of suffering. The Bible says God is not the author of evil." He then quoted 1 Thessalonians 2:7. He quoted Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Speaking about evil happens. We're in a sin-cursed world. He explained how Christ's death on the cross and resurrection was at the core of God's answer. He said, "I'm an old man now, and I've preached all over the world. And the older I get, the more I cling to the hope that I started with many years ago." We're going to sing the hymn he mentioned. In the hymn, "How Firm a Foundation," the words say, "Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." Now, I quote the final paragraph in this chapter because it's the author of this book. The author of the book is Robert Morgan. We wouldn't agree with all of his doctrine, but he was a pastor of a church. He said, "I was serving as a senior pastor of a church in Nashville in 2001. And on that Sunday following the disaster, our church congregation was packed, as full as any building can be. For a moment, everyone's hearts were shaken, tender, needing courage, and everyone was looking to God, or at least a form of God in prayer. People meeting spontaneously on the streets were weeping, hugging each other, and prayed. For a few weeks, I thought the horrendous events of September 11th perhaps had awakened the soul of the nation to another great awakening. But as every pastor of that era will tell you, within a few weeks, the crowds fell away, and it almost seemed church attendance returned to normal, or even below normal. I've been haunted ever since, wondering if our nation missed an opportunity to truly return to God with all their heart. One thing I know, world conditions are not getting better, and the coming days seem more perilous than ever before. My life's greatest burden and drive is to hold up the cross of Jesus Christ, whether we're in green pastures, by still waters, or even traveling through the valley of the shadow of death, for even there He is with us. Interesting comments. If we were to say, I wonder why 9/11 happened. Nobody knows. We're not God. Why did God allow that to happen? We know it was His sovereign will. God seeking to get the attention of His church, the believers? Was He seeking to get the attention of America, a nation blessed by God? Did we miss that opportunity? Why did it not last? Only you and I maybe have an answer in our heart. Can it happen again? Of course it can happen again. It can happen today. It could happen far worse. The Lord is obviously able to do whatever, but I trust that we won't forget that. And you may have had some family connected with that. You may know a family that's still today grieving the loss of a loved one, a firefighter. We're grateful for the stories we've heard of Christians that were in the building or knew the Lord. There are other videos that you can seek out that show a family member that was going to go down that said, I preach in the gospel, much like happened to Titanic. You know, preaching the gospel. Anybody here, you need to know the Lord. This is it. We're going to die. This is truth. And we may not know their names. We may not know their stories. They may not be captured on video, but grateful for believers. Often wonder, if that was you and I in the building, if you and I were the only believer trapped on that building and we knew we were going to die, would you have confidence? Would you have strength that no one else had? Would there have been a peace and a calm that only the Lord Jesus could have given you? Because you knew what would happen to you. You weren't afraid. You're fearful because you're human, but would people have looked to you? Would you have had the strength that they would have looked to you? Would you have had the calm, the reserve, the scriptures, the Bible knowledge hidden away? None of us had that opportunity. It could happen, though. May we be prepared for that, should it happen. All right, I'm going to have Nathan come up.
Plane or possibly a 737 passenger jet flying into the World Trade Center. It appears to be still embedded inside the building.
Was whispering in my ear, a second plane has hit the second tower. America is under attack.
Trying to see themselves. I don't know. have been attacks in two American cities, New York and in Washington. The trade centers here in New York have been hit by airplanes. In Washington, there is a large fire at the Pentagon. The Pentagon has been evacuated. And there, as you can see, perhaps the second tower, the front tower, the top portion of which is collapsing.
The other tower just collapsed. We need to collapse. We need to collapse.
There are no words.
Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. But they have failed.
America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you! I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon. Thank you for making the nation proud, and may God bless America.
One story to answer what Pastor has said about a Christian man who was on the 109th floor as the planes hit. The flames were below. He was known as the preacher on the floor in the business that he was associated with. He had just enough time to call his wife and said, "Sweetheart, I'm never going to see you again." This was told to Heather Murray. They were at Heritage Bible Church in Manhattan, Matt Recker's church. The wife attends there. As he gave his love to her, told her what was happening, he said, "Now, all those people that are working on this floor who are making fun of me are now asking me to come over and tell them about Jesus. So goodbye, sweetheart. I love you. I'm going to lead some souls to Christ." And then it collapsed. Think about that story. Think about the memories of that wife, of her husband, and his voice, and the last thing he did before he perished in the falling building and in the flames. What would we do? 464, how firm a foundation. Maybe you need to stand. You sing better if you stand. Ready? Here we go.
How firm a foundation, saints of the Lord, is laid for
Tonight's a little bit different of the service. Normally we preach on Wednesday nights and then have a time of prayer, but tonight just a little bit different of a service for several different reasons, and rarely show video. Probably during the year we'll show a video maybe 4, 5, 6 times, oftentimes on a Memorial Day or a Veterans Day. So tonight actually we'll have a second video, but the second one does not tie in. You say, what are you doing tonight? Well, I want to tie in 9/11 with our responsibility, though, as a believer and as a church. Pastor referenced the story of the gentleman there in the tower, and there are several like that, could be the same one. If it happened here and this was a raging fire, all the things we have, our bank accounts, our homes, the things that we hold dear, would not be that important. Most of us, we'd be just trying to spare our lives, and that's what happens when you have tragedies. You begin to realize what's really important, right? People are saying it's God, it's country, it's family, and all this other stuff. Wow, it's temporary, and then we quickly forget that. And yet, something could happen at any moment, and it's our responsibility. Number one, do we know Christ as our Savior, so we're not doing last minute, just in case, but we have a walking personal relationship with the Lord. And secondly, for those who are saved, what's our responsibility? Is to be a Bible-believing Christian, a witness, a testimony for the Lord. And as you know, whether we have a goal as a church or not, all of us as believers should be active in giving out the Bible. Could be by way of a tract. Could keep a tract and say, hey, I want to pass these out to folks. Can I give this to you at the restaurant or someone that you know, or a barber or a waitress, or Lord lays it on your heart and say, I'm going to give you some good news. Or, hey, I don't know if anyone's ever shared with you lately how you can know for sure. Whatever wording you use. So we should be gospel witnesses. Passing out the John and Romans, as our church will be doing systematically throughout the year, trying to share the gospel. All right, we can't save anybody, but we're to be gospel bearers. And Christ has given us a commission. All right, as Pastor mentioned, if that was us, would people, number one, know where you work or in your neighborhood that you are a believer? Would they know that you do have answers? If you went to a school, would they know that you're a Christian student or teacher? Would it be more like no, they wouldn't even know where to go for answers. All right? Would they know that? Have we been sharing the gospel? We may get laughed at. We may get mocked at. We may have people listen. We may not. But the Bible makes it clear, Matthew chapter 28, after Christ resurrected, getting ready to go to heaven, what are his final words to the church, the believers? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Go would be for the believer, those that know Christ. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The end of the world. We know from the other gospel accounts, go ye into all the world and preach, proclaim the gospel. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. I want to ask you, have you been sharing the gospel with anybody? We're busy people. We forget. We get the Holy Spirit may prick our heart. We may talk ourselves out of it because of fear, because of trembling, because of whatever. But I'm going to watch a video. It's about a 10-minute video called The Silent Witness. Saw it a couple months ago. It's from an evangelist, Caleb Garraway. Not an evangelist I've ever met. A younger evangelist. From all I know, he's a solid evangelist. But put out just a short film. You'll see some things that tie into 9/11 because of where the setting is. New York City. But it's something different that happened, all right, based on a true story of a gospel track. And I just want that to be the challenge tonight. We won't be doing this often during the year. We rarely watch a video for that to be the challenge. I believe in preaching the Word of God. But tonight, I want this to sit with you. And when it's over, I'm just going to come up and conclude in prayer. And I would like to, I'll be at the back and have a John and Romans. Now, these are to be passed out, but I would like everybody to take one home. And just pray and say, Lord, would you have me to be involved this Saturday with the church as they go out sharing the gospel? Many times we don't see results. Many times we get discouraged. Many times it doesn't seem like anybody cares or listens, so what's the point? Yet there is a point. We're to be obedient to our Lord. If we have the answers, we want to share them with those who don't. This life could soon be passed, as C.T. Studd said, only what's done for Christ will last. Will you be a part? We need help. We need your help as a church family. We understand that everybody can come. Not every time. That's why we have them once a month. We have different times. If you can't come this month, perhaps next month. Would you make it a point, though, to do all that you can to come out, whether it's for an hour, the whole time, bring your family, bring a child, and pass out some John and Romans, or do it on your own. Ask for a street. We'd be happy to give you one if you can't come on the month, okay? So I want to watch this now. I trust it'll be a challenge to you as it was to me the very first time I saw it, as well as I looked at it again today.
Life. What was the purpose of it? I had tried it all. Friends, the party life. I thought it would fill that loneliness inside me. But I just felt more lonely. I tried religion. Thought it would fill the empty void in my heart. Maybe if I said a prayer, I could know the purpose for my life. I would feel closer to God. But it was pointless. Why waste words praying to a God that clearly did not exist? Religion was cold, lifeless. There was no fulfillment there. This was my life. I had a great job and plenty of money, but even success didn't make me truly happy. I didn't know where else to look. All roads seemed to lead to one place. nowhere. I found myself in a fog, like maybe even living was not worth the trouble anymore.
Excuse me, sir?
A lady with some kind of paper. Something about God and eternity. I guess she didn't know that I had already tried religion. Ended in emptiness, just like everything else I'd tried. I never gave it a second thought. Then, a few days later, there she was again. Simple coincidence. I still wasn't interested in her little piece of paper. Over the next few weeks, it was like I just couldn't avoid her. She handed me one of those things almost every day. This was getting annoying and slightly unsettling. I was tired of being bothered, tired of her persistence. I didn't want any more religion crammed down my throat. I had had enough. But I couldn't get away from those two words. They were everywhere I looked. God. Eternity. Was there really a life after death? Who was he? Did he really even exist? I had given up all hope of finding a God that never felt real to me. But I couldn't shake the signs all around me. Maybe there was a God. And maybe he was searching for me. That night I could not sleep. Those words would not leave my mind. God. Eternity. God. Eternity. I kept thinking of that piece of paper. That persistent woman who would not leave me alone. What message was she so adamant about me receiving? I'd ignored it long enough. I had messed up enough in my life to know that I wasn't perfect. Far from it. But what I'd never realized before this moment was that even though I was such a wretched sinner, God loved me. His son Jesus died for me. Was that the emptiness I'd been feeling for so long? The ache in my sinful heart that only Jesus could take away? I knew I had a choice to make that night. Reject the truth on the simple pamphlet. Stiff-arm God and say no to his forgiveness and love. Or I could say yes. Accept him. Trust Jesus alone to save my weary soul and give purpose to my meaningless life. I chose Jesus. Where was she? I had to find her. To see her one more time and thank her for changing my eternal destiny. If it wasn't for her. She knew. She knew my life had been changed without me ever saying a word. She never gave up on me. She knew the power of the gospel. and the power of a silent witness.
So many Christians are unaware of the power that lies within a single gospel tract. A gospel tract is more than a brochure inviting someone to church. It's a reminder of God's love, an explanation of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross, and an opportunity for people to receive Jesus as Savior in the quietness of their own hearts. A gospel tract provides the light of hope to those lost in the darkness of sin. It contains the most precious truth a person could ever know, the promise of heaven being his eternal home. Though it does not speak audibly to a person who receives it, the Word of God is alive, quick, and powerful. The Holy Spirit uses it to speak to the heart. This pamphlet is the most significant silent witness. Gospel tracts are effective tools that Christians can use to quickly and easily spread the good news of salvation. No matter where you place them or who you give them to, God will use tracts some way, somehow, to reach lives and change eternity. God gives us his promise, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh to bring forth in bud, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Every time you pass out a gospel tract, you can rest assured that the seed of God's love will be sown in the minds of men. Truth will be planted deep within even the hardest of hearts. And even though some people will take it and throw it on the ground, others will come, pick it up, and read it. Only in heaven will we know the extent of how God uses the tracts that we hand out. Let me encourage you, be faithful. Don't quit. Your labor is not in vain. There is supernatural potential in the moment when you hand another person a gospel tract. Don't waste the time, the opportunities, the divine appointments that God gives you to be a witness for Him.
You don't have to know every answer. You don't have to be able to be an eloquent speaker. The Lord can help you. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, here's the truth that you and I hope believe. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in a church. It's not in religion. It's not in anything else you can do. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And as our verse of the month says, we believe. I hope you believe with all your heart. I do. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How many believe that? All right, you believe that. Well, remember the verse after that. "How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher, without a proclaimer?" Now, for some, that could be just a gospel tract. For others, it needs to be maybe more than a gospel tract. You may have given them. You may be a verbal testimony, a taking the scriptures. But may we be willing to take the Word of God, to take a gospel tract. A lot of times we pass out the John Romans. What I do, at least for those going out, we try to put a gospel tract also inside of it.
All right, knowing that some, you know, who America needs, the Bridge to Life, some of the story ones. She received two heart transplants. One changed her forever. That'll be the gospel. And say, just kind of give you something from our church, a gift from our church. I want you to know we love you. We love the community. If we can be a help to you here, all right. And pass out to John in Romans. And if you can do it with our church, we'd love to have you. My question for you tonight is, will you be a part of that? Will you help us? Will you help us do that? This Saturday, 2 to 4. We'll have another one in October. Probably one more in November. Some perhaps on a Thursday night. If you can't go out when it's scheduled, just say, Pastor Boer, I'm willing to give me a street or two, or my husband and I'll do it, or my wife, or I've got a good friend. We'll knock it out during the month of September. What hasn't been hit yet? Or what can we do? We'd love for you to play a part in that. All right. If you can't do that, then at least grab some tracts, pass them out to friends, neighbors, coworkers. Be a gospel witness, knowing that we have the answer. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you're searching like that young man, trying a little bit of everything. A lot of times after things like 9/11, people will go to church. People will pray. People will get their Bibles out and look for answers. And a lot of times that go back to your routine. Relationship with Jesus Christ is lifelong. Now, we don't just add Christ just because we're having problems. Right, I'm going to do this, say a quick prayer, so maybe everything will get better. No. We see from the Bible that He is the only way. He's the answer. I'm a sinner. I need Christ. Eternity awaits. I want to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're visiting, we have several visitors. Whether you're a longtime church member, growing up in the church, you may not be saved. I want to encourage you, don't leave tonight. If we can be helped you, I'll be at the back. Several of our men, women can help you. Be glad to show you from the Bible how you can know the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand as we conclude our service tonight. Again, a big thank you to Nathan getting all this together here and playing the piano. Thank you, Pastor, for leading. Thank you for each one of you being here tonight. Moms and dads with the young people, great job. Hardly even saw them. All right. Good job, Miss Errol and Owen and Austin. I got it right there. That is Owen, right? All right. Very good. It's good to have Brittany here. She's been visiting a little bit. And Owen, good to have some others with us. If you are visiting, I hope you'll stop by and introduce yourself. We're thrilled to have you here tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you first loved us. Lord, on this 9/11 day where we remember the great tragedy, some would say, Lord, certainly men and women who gave their lives and first responders, Lord, those that died, not expecting that to happen, Lord, they were planning just to have another normal routine day, and everything changed. Lord, that could happen to any one of us, Lord. We might be expecting to go home tonight, go to school tomorrow, go to work, have a normal weekend, go to the park, go to the vacation, but Lord, things could change at any moment. Scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Lord, we know the Bible says eternity awaits. Lord, only those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus, have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord, or will be in heaven with you. Lord, thank you for the Bible that gives us the answers. Help us to be bold in our faith. And Lord, I pray that we'd have folks from IBC be faithful. Thank you for those who have been. We see increased numbers of getting the gospel out to our community. Lord, dismiss us tonight in your great love. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.